lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this sobering passage in the Word of God. I pray that you would use it to be effective in our hearts and lives today for what is needed. God, speak to us, everyone in this room today, for our need. I pray those that are in this room would pray even now that the Holy Spirit would speak to each of us individually to give us what we need. Now, for this to be accomplished, Father, you need to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes to speak to us. And one last thing, Father. If there's someone in this room that does not know Jesus and will not be in heaven as the rich man, I pray they would get that settled and get saved today so they can have eternal life before they leave this room. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we will ask you to check your cell phones and make sure they are turned off or to vibrate, please. We would appreciate that very much. The subject this morning, as you can tell from our text, is the subject of hell. It is not my most pleasant or favorable subject. You were in Sunday school this morning. We talked about money. Now we're going to talk about hell. I thought, boy, Lord, that's like two strikes in a row there. Goodness sakes. I make no apologies for following the Lord's leading. This obviously must be what he intended for us to have today. See, last week, and by the way, if you had a choice between coming last week and this week, you should have come last week. It was better last week. Because we talked about heaven. And the reason the subject is on hell this morning is because last week we talked about how that heaven, going to heaven, settles all matters. Of this life, the next life, everything. It's all settled when you get to heaven. I knew as I prepared that lesson and the Spirit of God began to prompt me, I knew then he was going to have me preach on the very same subject, only concerning the other destination in eternity. Because we're going to talk to you this morning, just as we said last week, heaven settles all matters. Hell settles all matters also. So I prefer heaven, Pastor Johnson, me too. I'd rather preach 10 sermons on heaven than one on hell. I make no apology for the fact that it's in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. Now please listen to me. Jesus preached 14 sermons on life after death. 13 of them were about hell. So Jesus was a hellfire and brimstone preacher. That's pretty interesting if you think about it. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament. 230 of them make reference to hell. Now that's not a mistake then. The point isn't so much the subject matter. You say, well, it's an awful subject because it's a place of torment and suffering, etc. It is. And by the way, there is something there to for every one of us to draw something from today for our lives. Jesus told the account, not the story, the account of two men who lived and died at the same time. In fact, they died on the same day. One of them was a beggar. His name is Lazarus. And when he died, the Bible said the angels came and took Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. I've been in many a place before with the child of God and watched them cross from this life to the next. It is always to me a holy and a sacred time. Because you can sense the presence of God in the room as he's coming to take this soul home. It's a sweet time. It's a precious time. Lazarus was taken to Abraham's bosom. That's heaven. The paradise of God we talked about last week. There was a rich man. His name is not mentioned. If you'll notice in our text this morning, verse number 19, please, it simply says there was a certain rich man. Why no name? History calls him Dives. I don't know why they give him that name, where it came from. But there's no name in the Bible. The reason God puts no name there is to remind us that anybody could wind up in hell. Anyone. This certain rich man, the Bible said, who, by the way, had Lazarus the beggar laying at his gate every day of his house. And so in other words, when the rich man came out of his house, there was always this beggar laying there by the trash heap. And the dogs would come and lick the sores on his legs, and he would just, Lazarus desired the crumbs from the rich man's table. Do you know how we knew this? Because I bet he asked him, can I have the trash that you, can I eat from your garbage? And the rich man just stepped over him and went on. He said, well, then I know why the rich man wound up in hell, Pastor Johnson, because he didn't help this beggar man. Well, we'll straighten that out in just a moment. But the point is this. I want you to listen to me. Those two men who Jesus said, one is in heaven and the other is in hell, those two men are where they are today, 2,000 years later. This is not a parable. Parables in the Bible never have proper names in them. And there are two proper names in this one, Lazarus and Abraham. This is not a parable. This is a true account. So Jesus is telling us here, and there's a lot of rich information that you and I need to know about eternity from this passage. It says that the rich man died, listen, was buried, and then in hell. So hell is not the grave. People say, well, you just die and go to the grave, and that's, no, hell is not the grave. Hell is on the other side of this life. And it says while he's in hell, he's tormented by flame and fire, and he remembered Lazarus and his brothers. In other words, when a person winds up in hell, they have memory. They remember everything about this life. And they are literally in suffering. You see, Pastor Johnson, that's a very unpleasant subject to think of somebody. There are religions today that teach when a person goes to hell, they're consumed and burned in the flames. That's not what the Bible teaches. They're in a place of torment, and the rich man knew he would be there, and he is still there 2,000 years later asking for water and someone to take a message to his family. Listen now. Please listen very carefully. And Abraham made a statement when the rich man said, please send someone over here. Abraham said, there's a gulf fixed between us. Now listen. And he said, we cannot go over there. You cannot come over here. That settles a few other things that we misunderstand about heaven and hell. You don't go back and forth. First of all, nobody in heaven wants to go to hell. Nobody. Secondly, nobody in hell can get to heaven. You're wherever you go, when you leave this life, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Jesus said this. Listen, and there is no purgatory. There are religions that teach you go to a place where you're purged for your sins, and then after a purging, then you go on to heaven. There's some religions that teach you can work your way out of hell. You'll go there, but you can work your way out. I assure you, if any of that is true, nobody's in hell today. Because whatever it took to get out of there, they'd do it. I assure you of that, but that is not what the Bible teaches. So I'm giving you, listen now, I'm giving you the straight doctrine from the Scripture, from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you and I die, we go to heaven or we go to hell, and that's all there is. We don't go to the grave. Well, no, I think after you die, that's the end of it. Now look at me carefully. I hear that all the time from people today. Well, that's what you believe. Here's what I think. Well, I appreciate everyone's opinion, but everyone's opinion is like noses, and they all got holes in them. You can have your opinion, but look at me. You can deny that the Statue of Liberty stands in New York Harbor this morning and say it does not exist, but it's still there. You understand? I don't believe it's true. It doesn't make it go away. Now, what do you think this morning? Should we take our thinking, our thoughts, or the teaching of religion, or should we think about it this way? Are we going to listen to what Jesus said? And the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 41, that God prepared the place called hell. Just as He's prepared a place called heaven, He has also prepared a place called hell. So the God who made it told us it's there. So then I think we should take His word then, yes? And as soon as a person dies, they wake up in one of those two eternal destinations, heaven or in hell. And it's instantaneous, just like that. You draw your last breath here. You know, you draw your next breath there. So that means this morning, look here, that means between you and I and eternity, heaven or hell, is nothing but a breath or a beating of our heart. And when a person winds up in hell, what does it mean? It settles everything also. Just as heaven settles all matters, so does hell this morning. Let me give it to you very quickly, if I may. When you wind up in hell, when a person winds up in hell, it settles all matters of who is God. The rich man did not wind up in hell because he was rich. He did not wind up in hell because he didn't care for a beggar. People who think, well, I do a lot of good for folks, and after all, you know, if you do good, when you get there, God will say, you did a lot of good, and I'll let you in. The truth of the matter is, the rich man didn't wind up in hell because he was rich, or because he was indifferent, or because he was unkind, or because he didn't care. The rich man wound up in hell for the same reason anyone else does. They do not take the only way to escape it. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, in that passage, he was talking about heaven. But you understand the only option for us to take is to go to heaven. Because if you don't do anything, you'll wind up in hell. It's that simple. And not just do something. You have to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life in order to get to heaven. You have to trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Listen now, Jesus did not say unless you're baptized, unless you're a church member, unless you're a good person, you're not going to go to heaven. Listen to me, Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was a beggar and suffered in this life. Many will have rough lives, die, and still wind up in hell. That will not escape the torments of hell. You have to go, you have to miss hell the only way God's made to do that. And that only way is through Jesus Christ. That's why God sent his son Jesus one time to go to the cross, one time to die on the cross, one time to pay for our sins, one time to dip his soul into the torments of hell, one time to go to the grave, one time rise from the dead, one time. And that's why salvation is one way through Jesus Christ and nothing else. So it doesn't make it, that's why another reason I believe God didn't give the rich man a name. Because we could say, oh, this guy named George wound up in hell. Excuse me. Then we'd say, well, my name's not George. I don't have that problem. There was a certain man, just somebody, because just anybody could. Because that makes it, now you can look at it two ways. Number one, you can either say, well, I don't think that's fair. I should be able to do it on my own. Or number two, you can say, thank God there's just one way. That's how I look at it. Thank God there's just one way. Thank God it's not my way, and it's not your way, and it's not the religion's way, and it's not man's way, and it's not this way or that way, and there's all these roads that lead to heaven, and all you got to do is get on one of them. That's nice, but that's not how it works, because Jesus, who said there was a hell, told us, Jesus, same Jesus, told us there's one way to heaven. So you get that now? So we can either think that's exclusive and it doesn't include enough people, and we can ask, what about the Jews? What about atheists? What about people who never hear about him? What about all of that? And there's an answer for all of that, by the way, and here's the answer. There's one way to heaven. That way to heaven is the person of Jesus Christ, and you must have your faith and trust in him to get there, or you don't go. It's that simple. But you see, that actually makes it less complicated than more complicated. There he is. You say, well, heaven, you said hell settles all matters of who is God. That's right. Because we've got a lot of people today who are little g gods of their own life. Well, I don't care for that. I don't believe in that. I don't like that. I don't want that. I don't care. Listen, when God comes to you and delivers you a message of hope and salvation and forgiveness, and we just blow that thing off, you know what we're doing now? We're saying, well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, and then you make yourself your own God. That's big trouble. Listen, folks, look at me. God will allow you to make your choices in this life. But he will decide the consequences for those choices. You can reject him and walk away from it all, step over a bloody cross, walk past an empty tomb, and say, that's nice for religious people, but not for me. You can do that. He'll let you do that. He doesn't want you to. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He'll let you do that. But when death comes, he'll decide where you're going to go. That's because he's God, you see. That's why hell settles all matters of who's God. Number two, hell settles all matters of justice and injustice in this life. Listen now, look at me. Don't ever feel like for a second those who prey on the innocent in this world are just going to go on with life and that's it. Well, it shouldn't happen in this life. I totally agree with you. Totally agree. Oh, by the way, listen to me. That's why you and I don't do that. It's really interesting how we'll talk about people who do the whole walk in a mall and shoot folks and these kind of horrible things we're hearing about these days. We talk about that. You say, well, I don't do that, Pastor Johnson. Question, what do you not do for others that you should be doing? You see, it's real easy to point the fingers and blame everyone else, and we just go on our merry little way and think there's no big issue with this sort of stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. No one escapes the justice of God. And hell is a full, complete justice. I don't care what's been done by anybody and how much they escaped it and how good a lawyer they got to get around this, and this one was innocent and went to jail and that one was guilty and walked the streets. It doesn't make any difference, the injustices of man. Hell will settle all matters of justice and injustice. This man stepped over the legs of a beggar and watched dogs lick his sores and saw the man digging his trash can for food and didn't care about it whatsoever. Did you know that when he wound up in hell, he couldn't even get a drop of water on his tongue? See, we think because man gets away with injustices towards man, that somehow is unjust and unfair. It is unjust and it is unfair. Oh, let me encourage you with one more thought while we're talking about hell. It'll not be the last time you see injustice on this planet. But in Revelation 21 and verse 8, where it says, the fearful, unbelieving, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone. That list there of eight people, that the acts that they commit, that's not why they went to hell. That's what they're being punished for. Because it's time to settle up here. You prey on the innocent, you're going to have problems with God when it's over with. He's going to resolve these issues. So don't, I was talking, man, stop by the office this week and wanted to talk about something that happened to him 5 years ago that a preacher that I know did that shouldn't have been done. And I said, and he told me what happened, and I said, I'm sorry for that. When was the last time you talked to this preacher? 5 years ago. I said, you've been carrying this for 5 years? This injustice done to you was 5 years you've been carrying this in your life? I said, brother, you need to put that thing down. Forgive this soul and get on with life. Don't carry things like that around. People all knotted up in this world because they think man does things to man and no one's going to care. No people care. Believe me, the God of heaven has made a place that will settle all matters. Justice and injustice. Hell settles all matters of eternity. Heaven and all of its beauty, all of its rest, everything that's restored. The glad reunion of family and loved ones, all the beauty of heaven lasts forever. And by the way, you think, oh, I'd like to have some of that here. Okay, fine, but if he gave you all of that here and you died, you'd leave it all behind you. So he gives you some of it here, but the best of it he reserves for heaven, so you'll have it forever. God knows what he's doing, folks. He really does. He'll make all that right. All the stuff and everything else, that's the beauty of heaven and all the glory of all of that. And in hell, the suffering that lasts there is eternal suffering. You see, how could the same God do both things? That just doesn't make sense to me. That's because you don't understand the justice of God. You don't understand how he functions. I don't get it either, but I don't have to understand God. I just work for him, and I do what he tells me to do. I can tell you this, God is just and is not unfair about anything. And the idea is this, God will settle all this stuff and it will settle all matters in eternity. Hell and all of its horrors are eternal. Nothing but a brief day of judgment will give people a break from hell. They come out for a judgment time and they're put back. And that's all there is to it. Yeah, but Pastor John, some of these people, I mean, they're multi-trillionaires, they feed on society, they're horrible people. Not everybody that's that way, by the way, lives like that. But there are some that do. I mean, you take Hugh Hefner. This man has got some stuff coming to him for the pollution of our society and the way he promoted it and advanced it. And it started back in the 50s and now today has created this horror in our society of pornography and what it's done. 70-some percent of people today have seen pornography on the internet. The average child in America sees their first pornography at the age of 11. That kind of junk that's gotten into our society that has tainted and perverted the minds of people, all that's going to be resolved. And the consequences of this now will last forever. It's not just for a little while. We think, boy, that guy should go to jail for 20 years. God says he'll go to hell forever. And you say, well, you sound like you enjoy that. No, I don't. I don't want anybody in hell. I don't care who they are and what they've done to us and how awful they are in society. I don't want anybody there. And that's why you don't tell people, why don't you just go to hell? Don't say that. That's not only profanity. That's not your job. By the way, it's another reason why people today are desensitized to hell, because it's a common cuss word today. They use it like profanity. No, it is not a cuss word. It is a place of eternal torment and suffering. It's awful. And hell settles all matters of the human condition. This rich man gets to hell. Now look, he gets to hell and he says, Father Abraham, send somebody over here to give me what I want. Well, he said he was in fire and he wanted a drop of water on his tongue. But the first thing he thought about was himself. Then he thinks about his brothers. See, we think when someone leaves this life, no matter what their suffering is, when they leave this life, their suffering is over. If they go to heaven, absolutely. Absolutely. If they go to hell, Listen, now look at me. Mark chapter 9, another passage where Jesus preached about hell. He said, it's better to go through this life missing an eye than wind up in hell with two eyes. Better to miss a hand than wind up in hell with two hands. Better to miss a foot than wind up in hell with two feet. He not only told us it's better to have rough times in this life and better in the next, he also taught us this about hell. You enter hell in the condition you leave this life in. So the point is this, now please listen to me. The point is God has a way of settling some matters, but we also understand that when people wind up in hell, they're not going to be any different in hell. The rich man stepped over the legs of that beggar and did nothing for him because he'd only thought about himself. He was a selfish man. There'll be selfish people in hell too. Those who crave the things they must have in this life that they use in some cases to prey on society, they'll still want them. They just can't have them. The condition of mankind isn't going to change in hell. And this morning, hell also settles all matter of final authority. There in your Bible, at the end of this passage of Luke chapter 16, when the rich man starts to think about his brothers, he says, Father Abraham, send somebody to tell my brothers not to come to this place. And Abraham says what to him? Look at the Bible, please, in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren that may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. You know what? He was willing to make Lazarus give up his heaven to go back to earth again. You ever hear these people say, I had an out-of-body experience, and I went down a tunnel, and there was a light at the end, and I saw Uncle Joe and Aunt Mary, and they told me I had to come back. Let me just say it one more time. It'd take every angel in heaven to get me down that tunnel. You understand that? Because when I'm over there, I ain't coming back. I love you and I appreciate you, but I'm out of here, okay? We're good with that. Are we clear? Good. He was willing to make Lazarus give up his heaven to come back and talk to his brothers. And the response from Abraham in verse 29 said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Boy, if somebody came up out of the grave, I'd believe it then. We have people doing that all the time. I died. There's one guy around America telling people, I died and went to hell and came back to tell you about it. Frankly, it was just South Texas on a hot summer day. But he said, I died and went to hell and I came back and here it is and this is what I saw and everything. Boy, hell is real. They have people say, I died and went to heaven and I came back and here's what I saw and the things that happened. Have you seen a great revival of religion in America now? Did it change anything? Because an eight-year-old boy said he went over and saw his mama and his grandma and came back to tell us about it. Does that change everybody? Do you ever notice how many people now have just really become super religious because of this? Because you see, it's a principle. Here's the principle. Moses and the prophets is just simply talking about the Bible they had in that day. That's all he's talking about. Look here, this. That's all they had in his day was Moses and the prophets. And Abraham said, son, it's very simple. If they won't believe the Bible they have now, they're not going to change their mind. I don't care what happens. Because when you wind up in hell, you see, he thinks, boy, send somebody back to tell my brothers. It sounds like compassion, but in reality, he's thinking, these guys are just as hard-headed as I am. And it'll take reality and fact to change their minds about what they believe. And Abraham's answer was, the Bible is the only answer for all of this. And if they won't believe the Bible, you could forget it. Now look at me. That's true for you and me today still. We said it last week, and some of you kind of went, we don't know there's a heaven, you know. Not for a fact. We don't. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The more I believe it and the longer I believe what the Bible said, the more substance God has put behind that. Those deathbed experiences, the things of life, but God has put some substance to the faith. I do believe there is a heaven. I don't have any doubt that when I die by the grace of God for the blood of Jesus Christ and because of it, I'm going to heaven. That's all good by me. But frankly, I haven't been there, I haven't seen it. And the truth of the matter is, we don't know that there is a hell. We don't. We know what Jesus said. That's good enough for me, by the way. We know what the Bible teaches, and that's good enough for me, by the way. But we don't know because none of us have ever been over there and come back to talk about it. Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he wasn't allowed to say anything. He didn't even mention his own name when he said there was a man who in the body, out of the body, I don't know. He ascended up to the third heaven. He didn't even mention it was him, but it was him. That day he was stoned outside of Lystra and thrown on the garbage dump, but he wasn't allowed to talk about it. Do you know why? Because heaven and hell are determined by the authority of the Bible, not by our experiences. You say, I'll decide when I get there. Nope, that's too late. And God will say, but on January the 26th, you said in church, and that preacher showed you in the Bible what I said. That was all the authority you needed. And that's it for us today. By the way, this is a much better authority to believe than anything man comes up with. Because they keep changing their minds. Huh? They're as confused as a termite yo-yo. They are. What they believe today, they're not going to believe it in a couple of months. They'll change their minds about that. This book stands. God gave us this final authority. Now look at me. And we're judged by this according to John chapter 12. And it tells us that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And anything else will send you straight to hell. That's the bottom line. Now then. So what do we do about this? You make sure that you're saved. You do that now. Look at me. In this life. His name is L.K. Spade. I think it was 25 years ago I led this man to Christ. Some of our ladies were knocking doors in his neighborhood, and he was dying of cancer. Big, tall, raw-boned guy. And cancer had just withered his body away. He used to work in the woods as a lumberjack. He said, Pastor, go by and talk to this man. I did. He lay there on that couch. We chatted for a few moments. I said, L.K., I'd like to show you how to know for sure you can go to heaven. He said, all right, go ahead. So I went to the plan of salvation and explained to him, you need to admit you're a sinner and Christ died for your sins to save you from hell. And if you'll trust Christ, you can go to heaven. Okay, right now, if you're willing to trust Jesus as your Savior, you could be saved. I said, okay, would you be willing to do that? And he looked at me and he said, let's get to it. He said, good enough for me. Bowed his head and accepted Christ as his Savior. Went to heaven just a few months after that. Oh, by the way, his little wife was sitting there listening through the whole thing. And I said, now, Miss Spade, okay, settled salvation. How about you? She goes, yes, I have already done that. I said, when? She said, when he prayed, I prayed. I've heard him pray on the other side of hospital curtains before when I talked to someone, and that person got saved, and you could hear him on the other side of the curtain praying and asking Christ to save them. Don't you understand? You've got to settle up here. Look at me. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm sorry that our churches today have made the gospel some kind of a peace pact instead of an ultimatum. And it makes it sound like, well, anytime you have an interpersonal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, it's all confusing. Shasta Baptist Church, we're real simple people here. God loves you. Christ died for you. He is the only way of salvation. You must accept him to go to heaven. And anything else is rejecting him, and that will send you to hell. But now, you can settle it in your life. And you can know that you know. Be sure that you're saved. Number two, child of God, saved from hell today. How about other people? So what are we doing about giving the gospel to somebody else? I was talking with someone the other day, and they were saying how they're going through a real illness, a serious illness in their life. And they said, you know what we found out when I got sick? How many of my friends went to church and actually prayed? I didn't even know them. And I've known them for 30 years. I didn't even know they went to church. I didn't even know they believed in God. I got sick, and now they're telling me they're praying for me, and so's their church. He goes, I didn't even know they went to church. And I always think to myself, what are we doing here, Christian? Yeah, we got our fire insurance. Question, so what are we doing here? We take this whole thing so casually. Have we become practical atheists? We believe in heaven and we know there's a hell, but we're not going to do anything about people going to hell. Question, what are we doing here? I'm not asking you to force anything on anybody or shove anything down anybody's throat. But the Bible does say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It ain't going to kill you to hand someone a tract. And for goodness sakes, if you have loved ones and you don't know if they're saved or not, or you're sure they're not, can I ask you a question? What are you going to do about this? Can't you just encourage them with, listen, I'd like to tell you that I got, and everybody that's saved in this room knows how to witness. Because you got saved, tell them what you did. It'll work. Now look, hell is not given us, told us in the scripture, just for us to look at it and go doctrinally, well, there is a place called hell, and sometimes it's called Hades, sometimes it's called Tartarus, and sometimes it's called Gehenna, and sometimes it's called Sheol, and study the doctrine of hell. No, it's put there to remind us that there is another place in eternity, and this one is not good. But there is a place called heaven. And anyone can come to God through Christ and go to heaven. Anybody. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you? Well, Pastor Johnson, I do not feel at all encouraged by that sermon on hell this morning. Well, question, my statement to that is this. I didn't really want to encourage you. I just wanted to inform you. See, I have a couple of feelings.